Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Welcome, everyone. As many of you may know, I'm on the road. I've been up in Pennsylvania visiting with my mother, who's in hospice. I don't know how much longer she'll be with us. Could be days, could be a week. No one knows, except her. So I was looking through this Buddhist memorial service pamphlet, and there was something that really struck me that is such a universal, powerful statement that I wanted to share it with you. Great love and great sadness are your original teacher. Why is there sadness? Obviously, all sentient beings suffer. Buddha made that quite clear. And we didn't need to have Buddha make it clear. Our original teacher made that clear for us already. Great love. I think we all have that in our lives too, whether we realize it or not. There isn't a much greater love, universal love, than a mother for a child. I've been noticing a lot of books lately about death and dying with dignity. And what does it mean to die with dignity? I think it means to live with dignity, to discover why you do the things you do, and then make amends and change what you do that creates suffering for yourself and others. Great love, you know, for me, if you don't have forgiveness, you don't have great love. If you don't have compassion. So in order to really be alive, you have to experience great love and great sadness. My mother said to me the other day, I'm learning so much. I'm learning so much. And I thought, I am learning so much. I'm learning so much. Oh, what I'm learning. I know many of you have been through this already with your own parents. And everyone is different. Everyone's experience, of course, is different. But I think we can all relate to the idea of our original teacher. Great love and great sadness. Now, this is not a dualistic teaching. How are they separated? They can't be. There's no separation. Can't be separated. Can't have one without the other. If you have great love and you have compassion for all sentient beings, you see, feel, hear, touch, suffering. That's our lives. I mean, what else is there to do when you really think about it on this planet with your life but to share great love and alleviate suffering as much as you can? What else is there to do? Make money? Avoid suffering? Build big castles of toys. Buddha was so succinct about his teaching, so clear, but we don't grasp it because we want to make things up to fit into our ideas instead of just opening up to what's present in front of us. Our practice is about dying before we die. It's about experiencing great love and great sadness while we're here, before we die. Masters of our own lives means, you know, being free of ignorance, greed, anger, and sharing what's really important. And I think if you can experience great sadness, you can be really present for great love. It's impossible for me to even define it in terms of, you know, flip sides of the same coin. It's not even that. It's all one. It's not dual. The same essence. I suspect, I don't know this, of course, but I suspect that all the beauty that we see, and we all tend to see beauty like in nature, you know, the same way. I think pretty much to all of us, flowers are beautiful. Sunsets are beautiful. Now, you can have an attitude that's dreary and then everything looks dreary. Correct. Our mind is where it all happens. When I was reading the Heart Sutra tonight, it was like hearing it for the first time. All dharmas are empty. They do not increase, neither do they decrease. They're not pure, neither are they impure. No ignorance, no end to ignorance. No old age and death, no end to old age and death. I'm sad about losing my mom, very much so. Everyone dies differently depending on what their karma is and what their understanding of self is. So my mother really surprised me. She's being very brave and letting go of a lot of unnecessary drama of life and coming to the real essence of what relationship is. And, you know, the talks we had were just remarkable. I don't know what to say about it, but it's just as sad as it is to be losing her, it was one of the most wonderful experiences I could have ever had to sit with her at that moment as she was leaving this phenomenal world behind. Her spirit is becoming so clear, unspoiled, and so direct. She said to my daughter, which this is, you won't understand this, but I'll say it anyway. If you knew me better, you would know why she said this. She said, "Your dad likes snakes and snow." I used to collect snakes when I was a kid, and I was a real ski bum and worked in a ski shop for many years. Snakes and snow. So these special conversations that we can have with someone when they have nothing to lose, it's already lost. There's nothing to, you know, be judgmental about. It's just, you know, it's kind of like talking to a guru or a Zen master in a way. It's like there's nothing there in the way. It's just clear communication. It was wonderful. And I'm glad I had that time. I cried all the way here, by the way. The whole time I was up there, I was with family and my kids were there and I was managing things. And finally I got all by myself in the car and I'm driving here and I'm like sobbing the whole way through the beautiful mountains with everything blooming and, you know, being gorgeous. And I'm like just bawling the whole way. But it was good. I needed to get it out. Yeah, it happens to all of us, doesn't it? We all lose our parents. While you're still here, if you need to say something to someone, to get clear with them, to get honest, to get forgiving, loving, have a great love moment. Do it while you can. Do it while you can. Because we just don't know, you know? My mother deteriorated really quickly. She said she was, last time I talked to her, she's going to live to be 110. She's 93. Starting a few days before her 93rd birthday, here in March, she started to deteriorate and cancer just took over. And it was like, boom. We had no idea it was coming. Big surprise for us. Well, she had issues, but we didn't think they were that. And she decided she was ready to go. She's ready to die with dignity. Pretty amazing to me. I hope I have that strength when my time comes. It's a great lesson, great teacher, my mother, once again. I think there's lots of opportunities for great teaching in life when we have great love. So be open, be clear, don't hold grudges. My brother and I are totally different. I had to spend a lot of time with my brother. My mother was always after us to get along. He totally believes that the election was stolen, just to give you some idea of how we're different. So as different as we are, there was great love between us. That was good. He knows how I feel about the election, and I know how he feels. Oh, well. Is that important, really, for what was going on in our lives right now? Hell no. Doesn't really matter what he believes. Doesn't really matter what I believe. Because reality is a whole different thing than what we think. You know, it was about being present. So we had this great opportunity to be present to each other, to our families, to my mother, with my mother. You know, we all have to deal with it. Our original teacher, great love, great sadness. I'm happy to hear some thoughts or ideas or questions.
I'll be bold and speak after you talking about your mother. you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
So my parents both live in Oregon, and I'm fortunate enough to have not lost them. But I think this group itself has referenced how to die in Oregon before. And the power of having control over that choice is such a powerful thing. And I think we see one of our greatest attachments, one of our greatest causes of suffering is not being in control. Like, that's what just freaks us out. It's what freaks your brother out with the election. It's what freaks so many of us out on a day-to-day basis. But when you're coming to the end, and I think your mother is obviously coming to that state where she is so open because she's accepted that ending, that it's coming. And that's maybe why she's learning so much, just because all those other things have fallen away and we're just so much more receptive, ironically, in the end. But I think it's one of the reasons why Ram Dass enjoyed working with dying people so much. He started doing it as his service. He thought he had to, and then he eventually enjoyed it because people were so full of truth at that period in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that, Blair. I remember seeing one of the documentaries about him and him just talking about exactly that. I don't remember which documentary it was, but it had a real impact on me. So thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, thanks, Will, for sharing that, et cetera. But my point is that I felt great joy because, you know, it's so meaningful for you and so full in terms of your connection, and just that bittersweet feeling that comes with sadness and with losing someone we love. And there's no greater connection. Yes, obviously you can't have one without the other. And so it leaves me with a lot of gratitude. I have compassion for what you're going to be going through and what you have been going through. So thank you.
Well, I just, you know, thank you everyone for sharing. And I just, you know, it makes me think about my own mother, you know, getting closer to, you know, that time and just not wanting to take it for granted. And I mean, we are going through some changes right now with our relationship, but I think it's all good ultimately. And, you know, I just want to work through everything, you know, after listening to that story and just, you know, really focus on what, you know, focus on the things that we can share that is positive, you know, and just kind of get through all the kinks together. It's not always easy, but I think it's a great way to grow and, you know, to focus on what's important. You know, so many times it's easy to focus on things that are trivial. And when it, you know, when you contemplate on death, it really puts things into perspective. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll just share some of the, you know, things about my mother. And I have had a difficult relationship for a long time. And she said to me during this process in this last week, she's already decided she's dying, and she is. And so the conversations are really from that kind of place. They're not about fixing me anymore, you know, or helping me or trying to make me understand. It's more like, she calls me Willie. She said, Willie, I've been really hard on you, but it's because I was afraid. I was afraid for you. And I said, Mom, I'm afraid for my kids too. Parents are afraid for their kids. It's okay. It was immense. That like undid years of bad feelings of, you know, just crap between us that was so insignificant, really. It was, you know, clashes because she was afraid. She was afraid for me. That was never clear to me. She was just bossy and pushy and angry, and I could never do anything right. And, you know, it was like, why are you always picking on me? But a lot of that was also my coming to terms with how I thought about things. You know, so our practice, this practice that we do, meditating, getting in touch with who we are, allows us to see all those false assumptions we make about how what reality is. You know, when we're sitting and practicing, these kinds of things come to the surface, like they bubble up, and we can look at them from a detached point of view, get some perspective on them, which helps not just us, but helps those that we have in relationship around those issues. So if we can be clear with ourselves, then we begin to be clear with others. And over a period of time, as I became more clear about what my relationship with my mother was all about from here, not about her, but about me, then I was able to let go of a lot and just be present to her just the way she was. And that was very, really helpful for both of us. And they say freedom is letting go. Well, you have to know what you're letting go of. I don't want to give the impression that it's always been easy with me and my mom. This is a special time. There's a lot of letting go going on. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
This week, well, I knew probably what you were going through. Yeah, I can relate to that. I took care of my mother for six. She decided that she was going to die too and stopped all of her medications and went to bed. and she thought it would be like a day or two, and it turned out to be like 4 weeks. So, you know, and I took care of her for that time. So it was a very interesting practice.
Yeah, so the hardest part for me was leaving, because even though I knew that we were good, I had that attachment. It was hard. It was just really hard to leave and not want to hold her hand right to the last second. Oh, but that's what I had to do. That's my way. But she knows. So we have this mind-to-mind thing going on. So it's all right. So we're connected. I feel it. She feels it. Life's journey.